You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is Lee Baucom, and today we start a special series. I think it's going to be a very powerful series where we look at 11 things that happy couples do differently. You see, I find that a lot of people come into marriage with a real lack of understanding of how to move forward. And in a lot of ways, it makes sense, right? Because marriage ends up being on-the-job training. You don't go through a course. You don't go through a trial. You don't go through anything that's going to let you know what happens when you get married. Now, a lot of people will tell me, well, we dated for a long time or we lived together for a long time. But the fact is that there's something that happens psychologically that makes a shift when you have that ceremony where you promise that you're going to be together through thick and thin no matter what. Good days, bad days, sick days, healthy days, poor days, rich days, all those days that basically cover the rest of our life, something happens psychologically. We have this connection that hasn't happened in any other relationship. And so when we realize that, we realize that what we've been doing is kind of doing on-the-job training, and that can get us into trouble because a lot of times we walk in the marriage with this strong feeling of love. And I've heard this for so many people. They would say, you know, when I got married, I thought, well, we don't need to read about these things. We don't need to learn about marriage. We don't need to worry about it because we've got this. You know, we've got this. We have the feeling. We have this capacity. Yes, I know that other people have marriage problems, but not us, because we have real love. You know, whatever they had didn't work, but what we have is real love. And so there's no training that gets you ready for that. You know, I found it very interesting when I got married. I remember that point when we had been standing in front of our family and our friends and making these vows. And in half an hour, we went from being two single people to being two people coupled together, joined together for the rest of our lives. And I walked out kind of in a daze going, well, what now? And what happened next was they patted us on the back, gave us a nice little reception, and sent us on our way to try to venture into life. The problem is every couple gets to that point. And what happens? Well, we make mistakes. We find places where we don't quite know what we're doing, and we get ourselves into trouble. So let me dispel one of the theories, and that is that happy couples just have something different, that they have some capacity that gets them through that they don't end up with the typical problems. So let me tell you from my experience of working with lots of couples and talking with lots of couples in lots of different settings that 100% of couples have struggles. That's it. 100% of couples have difficult times. But here's the other piece. 50% of people find some way, 50% of couples, somewhere around there, maybe a couple of points higher, 52% of couples find a way of moving beyond the struggles. Now, that doesn't mean that they move into a happy relationship. And what I've discovered is that there's a much smaller number of happy relationships, happy marriages. And I think that's a shame because I think there's great capacity for lots more relationships to one, survive, and two, not just survive, but to thrive. And that really has always been my goal, is to teach couples how to not just have a relationship, but how to have a thriving relationship, not just how to avoid a divorce, but how to thrive together as a couple. And so these 11 things that happy couples do differently is not just about 11 things that people do to avoid divorce, but it's how people find truly satisfying, deep, soul-connected relationships that we all imagine when we get married, how to grow into that place. So what I've discovered is that there really are kind of three groups of couples that go through life. The first group are those that are not happy, but they decide to tough it out. And there could be a lot of reasons why they just decide to tough it out. It might be because, you know, there's some feeling, religious or otherwise, that you just don't divorce. It could be that there is some cultural piece to that. Sometimes it's because they don't want to do to their kids what was done to them. They don't want to come from a broken home. Or sometimes it's just a financial thing that they just can't afford to go their separate ways. And so while they're not happy, they decide just to tough it out. Then there's another group that are not happy, but they aren't going to tough it out. They say, you know what? Life's too short. I'm going to get out of here. And so they bail out on the relationship. And the statistics show that that's somewhere roughly around half of marriages. I think the statistics have kind of scaled down a little bit. So we're somewhere in that 46% to 48% of all couples who will say, I'm done. I'm out of here. And so they just quit. Now, there is only a shift in that because the people who are in that not happy but tough it out have just for some reason decided to stick through it. Those who are not happy and quit just decide it's not worth it. But there is another group. And those are the ones who may have points of being not happy, but they decide to make a change. Now, notice, I put that now we've covered all the categories of couples that somehow hit a place where they go, you know, this isn't quite what I want. I've got to figure out something else. You see, every relationship, every couple goes into marriage happy, right? And otherwise, they would likely not be there. And there are some exceptions to that. But generally, people go into a marriage happy. You know, they're choosing to be there. They're choosing to go through with this. They're choosing to connect themselves with this other person the rest of their life. And if that trajectory had continued, we wouldn't have statistics that we have. And so part of what happens is that every relationship gets to that place where they have to choose which way they're going to turn. Are they just going to tough it out, continue in their unhappiness and just tough it out and get to that place where they just basically are surviving? Or are they going to quit? Are they going to give up, walk away, or are they going to take the next step? And the next step is to say, okay, we don't know what we're doing, and that's okay. We're going to figure this out. There are, I think, three areas where the changes can happen, and they happen to be around the three C's. And my wife and many other people would tell you, I probably like the C's too many because I've got several sets of three C's. But these are three different C's than what I've talked about before. They are the three areas of conflict, connection, and companion. And what I mean by that is conflict, how we deal with the struggles that are the inevitable outcome of being with somebody, those differences and disagreements that are going to come up. How does a happy couple deal with those differences in ways that unhappy couples don't? Or how does a happy couple deal with that place of connection, the place of saying we're in this together in ways that other relationships don't? And how does a happy couple treat each other as individuals, as companions of each other, in ways that unhappy couples or stuck couples don't? Those are the areas that we want to talk about as we go through these different ways, these 11 things that happy couples do differently. And the nice thing about looking at these things is that they are learnable skills. They are places you can make a shift no matter where your relationship is, that every relationship has the potential for growth, for change, for becoming something that it hasn't had a chance to be yet. So as we go through these, recognize that as we go through these 3 weeks, what we're looking at are the places where you can change things. I'm not holding these 11 things up as places where you say, well, see, you can't have this because you're not one of those happy couples. Instead, see it as the opportunities of moving from wherever you are to a renewed relationship, to a growing and transforming relationship. See this as the fuel to allow you to move beyond where you are. This isn't looking at static points, ways that are unattainable to anyone. What I'm describing are choices, are shifts, are perceptions that you can decide to take on, actions you can adopt that will allow your whole relationship to transform into one of that group where you weren't happy, but you decided to make a change and you became the happy couple that we're talking about. So let's talk about the first set. The first set are around conflict. Conflict is one of those big issues. When I see a lot of couples come in for therapy, one of the big places they come in is because they're stuck in a conflict. In fact, one of my interesting things is to ask a couple about their first conflict, their first really big fight, not the little disagreement, but that first really big fight. And usually they can look at each other and name that conflict. And when they describe it to me, I ask them, are you still having that conflict? And sure enough, many times it's only changed the costume. It's only changed the outfit. The real true conflict, the heart of that conflict is still the same, which tells me that couples tend not to do real well with solving conflicts. So let's talk about some ways that happy couples do conflict in much more appropriate and helpful ways. The first thing is that happy couples forgive quickly and move forward with life. Now, I have got to unpack this a little bit because there's a lot of baggage around what I mean by forgiveness. And whenever I've talked about forgiveness in public areas, I'm always challenged about why should I have to forgive? That lets them off the hook. So let's talk some about what I mean by that. The first thing I want to talk about is what I refer to as everyday forgiveness. Everyday forgiveness is a necessary trait because we live in such close proximity in a marriage with the other person that we're going to bump into each other. We're going to have those places where we just kind of bump because of proximity. Now, I'm not equating marriage to me running with my dog, but I want to talk just for a minute about that because I love to trail run. And when I'm on these very narrow trails, you know, these very narrow trails are actually built for mountain bikes. And so we're really on a trail that sometimes is only 6 to 8 inches wide. Now, there are other places where it's 3, 4, 5 feet across, but a lot of times Ziggy and I are running along the path and there's only about 8 inches for us both to manage. And sometimes he wants to be right where I am, and sometimes I need to be right where he is. And so what happens is we keep bumping into each other. It's not intentional. You know, he's not trying to hit my legs, and I'm not trying to bump into his back. It's just the nature of us being so close together. And oh, by the way, we're tethered together because he's on a leash. And so we're tethered together on this trail. And so as we run, just by the simple nature that we are in such close proximity to each other, we're going to bump into each other. So let's bring that into the marriage. Just because you've chosen to join together with this other person, you're going to have the bump places. You're just going to have those places where you both are trying to manage being on that same trajectory. You're tethered together. You know, you've got this connection between you and you've got to manage life. And so it should be no surprise that you're going to have those bump places, those places where you just crowd each other out. And so everyday forgiveness for me is about making sure that when you bump into each other over time, you recognize that that's just the nature of it. And you let those little slights go. You recognize that sometimes a spouse is just in a bad mood and, you know, you're the person who happens to be on the trail with them. You happen to be in the same hall or the same room with them, and they're just in a bad mood. It has nothing to do with you. And so they say something that's a little cross, a little hurtful, and you can either take that in and internalize it and say, you know, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember how you treated me. Or you can adapt and adopt a attitude of everyday forgiveness and say, I'm going to let that go because that's just kind of one of those everyday slights that happen because we happen to see each other in both good moments and bad moments. That's just going to be part of what I do. So I'm going to let that go. And doing that allows you to accept that your spouse is human, just like you are, and that you will make mistakes and your spouse will make mistakes. And when that happens, you've got to decide that you're going to move beyond it because you also will want your spouse to move beyond it too. So when you make a mistake, you want to have the same place of a spouse saying, you know, I understand it. I get it. You made a mistake. I'm not going to hold you to that. That's something that we extend to each other. Sometimes what I notice is that couples want to be forgiven. Individuals want to be forgiven. But they want to hold their spouse to another ideal. And that what we really need to do is work on that everyday forgiveness of just kind of letting those small things go instead of allowing them to build up. A lot of times the big blow-ups happen because of a lot of these small little slights are created into a story about how your spouse is just so mean to you. Rather than saying, you know what, sometimes we're all in bad moods. Sometimes we're all a little bit off. Sometimes we say things we don't mean. Sometimes we are a little more cross than we want to. And that's where we have to accept. A spouse is human. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. And so we're going to choose to let that go in what I call everyday forgiveness. Now, then there's another category of what I call forgiving the bigger things, right? And forgiving the bigger things means that we have to make some understandings of what I mean by forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just letting the other person off the hook. And I also don't believe in that old little saying, you know, forgive and forget. I don't think it's possible to forget things, but you can forgive. And forgive means that you're not going to constantly hold this person to that slight, to that infraction, or to that action that caused the hurt. Sometimes it's inaction that caused the hurt. And this is when I'm talking about the bigger things. Now, let's talk about one of my core understandings of forgiveness. And forgiveness is something you do for yourself. not for the other person. Now, it does help the other person, right? Because it does give them a little place to be able to move beyond the shortcomings. But the reason you forgive is so that you can move forward. You're not stuck in that place. You're not stuck in the past. You're not stuck in holding on to those hurts. You can move forward. It's been said that not forgiving is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die, right? Because when you try to hold on to that not forgiving, what you're doing is holding on to this place of being stuck to that old narrative. And so happy people know how to move beyond that. Happy couples know how to truly forgive and move forward. Now, that sometimes there has to be some reparation. Sometimes there has to be some change that comes from that just so that it doesn't happen again. But it's not the same as what some people think of as kind of cheap letting the other person off the hook. Forgiveness is saying, I'm not going to be bound by your actions. We will have to find a way past this. So what happy couples do is happy couples choose to forgive and they choose to move forward so that they're not bound by the past. They're not caught up in those places where they've fallen short from the past. Okay, so number two, happy couples expect conflict. You know, what I've noticed many times is that there are a lot of couples who either get stuck always in conflict or they're always surprised that there's conflict. Well, happy couples expect conflict. They don't look for it. They don't seek it out, but they expect it's going to happen. And the difference that makes is they're not surprised when the conflict arises. It doesn't catch them off balance. It doesn't throw them off. They don't seek it out. They don't avoid it. But they recognize it's going to come their way, and so they're not going to be surprised by it. Therefore, a happy couple decides to find ways to move through the conflict. Instead of constantly kind of rehashing the same pieces, you know, instead of constantly kind of finding themselves stuck in conflict or being surprised by it and therefore never setting up a way of managing it, happy couples decide to find a way to deal constructively with the conflict. You see, my observation of watching couples in conflict is that probably at least 80%, if not more, of the conflicts really are about differences of opinion. They're not things that have to be decided. They're not things that have to be chosen. You don't have to come to an outcome. It's a matter of a difference of opinion. And a difference of opinion is not the place to say, let's take this to the mat. It's a recognition that you've got a difference of opinion, that the conflict is really a difference of opinion. You know, even in that word conflict, conflict means to strike together, right? And there is that sense of being together in that striking that is interesting. And so what happens is that when we brand something as a conflict, we feel like we have to kind of get to the end of it. We have to have an outcome. But if it's a difference of opinion, difference of viewpoint, you're not likely to get to an outcome to it. And so couples who are happy recognize how many of these conflicts are differences of opinion, and therefore they seek to come to an understanding of each other's position. Because when they do that, then you take the other no more than 20% of the time that something actually has to be solved. You know, they have a conflict over which car to choose or a house to choose or a conflict on how to spend money. Because you get rid of all those other places that are differences of opinions, you just understand that they are differences of opinion and it's a matter of understanding each other, then you can solve those conflicts pretty well. And what I've discovered is when it really comes down to something that has to be decided, couples often do that pretty well. So one of the interesting pieces to pull in here is that there is some literature, there is some study about what happens in the struggle. John Gottman is one of the leading researchers in relationships, and he discovered that how couples do this conflict thing makes a huge difference in how they work things through successfully and whether they're going to stay together. And he put in two different pieces, and he talked about the soft startup and then they return to a non-aroused state. And what he found is that couples, when they are in a conflict, if they start it with a soft startup, that a conflict is started with a soft startup, and a soft startup is different than what he called a hard startup. A hard startup is to say, hey, you did this and I'm going to tell you about it, right? Or sit down, shut up and listen to me. Those are harsh startups. And then there's a soft startup, which is to say, honey, you know, I needed to talk to you about something and I wanted to tell you about something that really hurt my feelings, or that's a kind of a soft startup, because it's claiming that place for yourself of saying, I'm starting with where I've been hurt. So what he discovered is that when couples more often than not used soft startups, they were able to resolve the relationship. They were able to stay together because the conflict was able to be resolved. The other piece of that is he discovered that the more quickly people return to a non-aroused state, and that has nothing to do with finding someone to be alluring or interesting in a sexual way, but the aroused state of the body is when the body gets ready for a struggle. And so arousal in this frame is talking about really when the body is full of adrenaline. You know, when you get into a discussion with a spouse and you find that adrenaline rush, how quickly you return to normal is another indicator of whether the relationship is going to survive. And so what they realized and what the research realized is that when couples used a soft startup and when they returned to a non-aroused state more quickly, the relationship was more stable and had a better chance of lasting. Well, part of the reason for that is because if you get past those harsh startups, then you're not taking it personally. It doesn't become a personal attack, and it doesn't become a you versus me. And if you get back to that non-aroused state, you're back to calm. It's not like you're kind of ruminating on it and you keep on moving forward, because you've come to that place of deciding you're going to let it go. You're going to forgive. So John Gottman's research shows that soft startups and returning to a non-aroused state was a good indicator of how couples were doing with conflict and therefore how they were going to do in their relationship. You see, a relationship between happy couples, they recognize that they see each other as a team, that they're really in this together. And so they have a need to get through the important conflicts and then to let go of the unimportant conflicts. They learn that conflict's going to happen, but their task is to move through that conflict in a healthy and appropriate way, to find ways of letting go, to move through it, and then really resolve what can be resolved and let go of the rest of it. Okay, so what else do happy couples do? Number three, happy couples address the issue and they refuse to make it personal in the conflict. What happens a lot of time is that when we start a conflict, we start with an issue. You know, we want to talk about some slight that happened, whatever it was, and we have the best of intentions. But as we begin that discussion, we suddenly find ourselves caught up in the fight or flight response. Now, the fight or flight response comes from a very deep part of our brain, the reptilian brain. And the reptilian brain is kind of in conflict with another part of our brain. That's the limbic brain. And so if you think of it as kind of the lizard is having a fight with that herd part of our brain, you'll understand this a little bit better. The pack part of our brain, the pack part of our brain is the part that wants to be in connection with other people. The pack part of our brain says, you know, I need other people around me. The lizard doesn't need others around it. And so while the pack part of the brain wants to have peace and quiet and connection, the lizard part of the brain is saying, I'm going to take you out. And so that part of the brain, that lizard is just waiting for a chance to win. And the winning comes from one of two ways, either getting out of the way, fleeing the scene, or taking on the opponent. And so a lot of times when couples begin discussions, they move from the issue to the personal. Because if you've decided you've got to take this other person out, it's win at all costs. It's not win fairly. It's not win to get the right outcome. It's win at all costs. So I'm either going to flee the scene, that's the flight response, or fight to the bloody end. And the way I can fight to the bloody end is I can take out those personal attacks, and I can take out those old stuff, and I can just go after you to make sure that I've beat you down. Because at that point, it's all about winning, not about solving the issue. So happy couples recognize that you can't make it personal, that you've got to stay on the topic at hand. So they stay focused on the conflict. They know what that conflict is about. They can define it, and they stay focused on it. And they refuse to make it a personal attack. They refuse to throw the jabs, to, you know, to make it about, oh, here's what you did. They don't make it about the character of the other person. They simply make it about the topic that has to be solved. And then they also refuse to hash the old conflicts. They don't pull out the old stuff. It's not a rehash of last week's fight or last month's fight or last year's fight or that first fight you had a long time ago that never got solved. Instead, they say, let's focus on what we're dealing with right now. Let's focus on what we're dealing with right now. It's not about your character and it's not about the old stuff. Instead, we're going to solve the issue that's in front of us because the issue that's in front of us is enough. If we can solve that, then we can move forward together. It's kind of like saying, you know, we're in this team together. So the best thing we can do is solve the conflict, not make it a personal attack. And not be constantly going back to that old stuff, but deciding to finish a conflict and then move on. And as you decide to finish a conflict and move on, it allows you to make sure that you stay on that issue at hand. So part of what happens is that happy couples commit to listening to each other and understanding the viewpoint of the other person. And using that to come to a conclusion that makes sense for both people, that makes sense for the team, the we of that relationship. And when they do that, then they're capable of moving through conflict in constructive ways. You see, that's the big difference here, is that when happy couples come to a bump in the road, they decide to solve it. They decide to get to a resolution. They decide not to hold on to it forever. And they decide to move through that. Okay, so those are the first three things that happy couples do differently, and they are one at a time. Number one, happy couples forgive quickly and move forward. Number two, happy couples expect conflict, and therefore they find a process of working through it. And number three, happy couples address the issue at hand. They don't make it personal, and they don't rehash the past. Okay, that kind of brings us through what happy couples do differently in the first C of conflict and how they move forward. The next thing we're going to look at is how they work through the connection together. So join me again next week as we continue this series on the 11 things that happy couples do differently. Now, one way you can help me with this is to share it. Just below this post, there are ways to share it on Twitter. There are ways to share it on Facebook. You can pin it if you're a Pinterest person. You can share it on Google+. You can share it on LinkedIn. But what we want to do is bring this message out and let other people know how they can find different ways of moving from wherever they are to where they want to be as a happy couple. Don't be stuck in those first two categories of couples where either you tough it out without any happiness or you decide to end it. Instead, say, you know what? We're going to be that couple that says, hey, it's a learning point. This is a place for us to grow into. So help me spread the word. Help others know the same thing. Because one of the things that we know is that when we spread the word, other people can learn, other people can grow, and we begin to surround the world with happy couples. And what happens when we do that? We begin to rebuild the happy families so that kids are coming out of families where they have great opportunities of knowing what goes into a relationship. So please, if you have a chance, if you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on Pinterest, you're on LinkedIn, you're on Google+, we have a way for you to share. Just help me share the word about what happy couples know and what they do differently. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you build the happy relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.